Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You don't know how happy I am to see all of you sitting out here this morning. I was afraid everybody was going to get the word that I was delivering the message today and not come. Thank you for being here. All right. You will, from time to time, see me reach under here and bring out this water bottle, because I get as dry as the Sahara. Okay. My lesson today is called Freedom in Christ. Something that we all have, but I think it's something that a good many of us don't really realize what it is, how we got it, what we can do with it, and finally, what God has to say about it. It's been about 2 years since I had the honor of bringing the message to you in this church, and I'm very happy to be with you in God's house here today. As usual, we've spent quite a bit of time in prayer, but to my way of thinking, when we're worshiping our God in His house, we can never do enough praying. So, if you are able, would you please stand so we can go to the Lord in prayer one more time? God our Father, we come to you again this morning to offer you all the praise and honor and thanksgiving and glory that we can muster. Father, we praise your mighty name and we honor you in everything we try to do. We give up to you all the glory for anything you lead us to do. And above all else, we try to give you thanksgiving for everything you do for us. Today, Father, we are especially thankful for the freedom you have provided for us in this, our homeland. There is no other nation on the face of this earth, and there never has been a nation on the face of this earth that has the level of freedom that we enjoy. Especially, we appreciate it because we know it comes from your beneficence. Oh Lord, we are fully aware that we are sinners and need your forgiveness daily. We pray that you will forgive our sins and that you will remember these sins no more, as you have promised in Scripture. Father, we ask that you take special watch care over our brothers and sisters who, for whatever reason, could not be here with us today. If they're sick, we ask that you heal them. If they are traveling, as our pastor is, we ask that you give them safe travel. In this, as in all things, Father, we ask that your will be done, not our own. O Lord our God, we have set aside this day to honor, in addition to you, all of our military men and women serving the nation you created. Whether they are already standing on the wall to protect our way of life, or just beginning training to go and stand on that wall, we ask in all humility that you bless each and every single one of them most abundantly. Keep them safe and protect them, gracious Lord, when they must, of their duty, go into harm's way. For those who make the supreme sacrifice in doing their duty in protecting this nation, Father, we ask that you strengthen their families and loved ones and give them the courage and endurance that their loved ones have shown in the performance of their duty and the sacrifice that they willingly made. Father, God, we ask that you bless each and every one of these brave men and women and grant peace to their loved ones they left behind. In these trying times, Father, we seek your wisdom and counsel. There are so many things happening, Father, that many of us do not understand, and that most of us would change if we but knew how. O most wise and masterful God, we humbly ask that you assist us in bringing this nation back to where every knee is bowed and every heart sings your praises in worship of you, Father. We need those times again. We, as a people, need to return to a nation of godly men and women who happily and gratefully serve their God. Help us remove the strife and misunderstanding that's rampant in our nation. Help us to become once more the shining beacon on the hill that you created to show this world of darkness what light truly looks like and what that light can do for all people. Above all, Father, help us to truly follow the command of your Son when he gave us his great commission. Father, once more we thank you for all that you do, and we ask all of these things in our prayer in the holy and precious name of your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please remain standing for a reading brief reading from God's holy word if you're able. From 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Edith, don't try to keep up with me. I don't think you can. Here's this, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. From Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. From Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And finally, from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom to cover up evil. Live as servants of God. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. Please be seated. From within these verses of Scripture, God has told us several things. First, where can we find freedom? Second, why have we been given freedom? Third, what can we do with that freedom? And fourth, how can we and how should we live with our freedom? We see in 2 Corinthians that the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever we find the Spirit, there is freedom. From Galatians, we learned that our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, set us free just for the sake of freedom and being free and having freedom. That's all he wanted, was a free people. Not so coincidentally, he also wanted us to use our freedom in serving him. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we have learned that one of the wonderful things about our being free is our inherent freedom to approach God and to approach him with confidence. Not as a slave, not as a bondservant, but as a free people, approaching the God they adore and honor and serve. Finally, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, we learned how to live with our freedom, to live as and with free men, not using our freedom to cover up evil things that are happening in this world and always have happened in this world. Living freely as servants of God. Can I get an amen there? No? Come on, give me an amen.
Amen.
Amen. Before I go any further, let me say this. In this country, from the beginning of this nation, and before that even, we have been and still are a warrior people. Let's face it. We are warriors. Notice I said warriors, not warmongers. There is a major difference in those two terms. As many of you know, I'm something of a history buff. I have studied the American warrior and American wars. Pretty much since the beginning of our history on this continent, we have been protected by those who could and were willing to fight the necessary battles against our enemies, both foreign and domestic. During the French and Indian War, we fought the French coming out of Canada, a foreign enemy. And we also fought the Confederation of North American Indian Tribes, the Delaware, the Algonquin, a domestic enemy. Later, both of these former enemies helped us in our battle in the Revolutionary War to win our freedom from the British Crown. In the War of 1812, we fought the British Crown again, and we whipped them without too much help from anybody else because nobody wanted to help us. In 1860 to 1864, sadly, we fought ourselves in the bloodiest war we've ever been involved in, before or since. My point here is to help us realize that it is the veteran who has guaranteed our freedom and enforced it with strength of arms. Now let's get back to more modern times. In Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary of the American Language, we see that freedom is, and I quote, "the state or quality of being free." Could anything be more obvious than that? Yeah, it could. There's also a second definition for freedom, and that is freedom is a right or a privilege. In this nation, we take it for granted that our freedom is a right. It's a right to us based on our Constitution, based in law. In the last hymn, it said something about a nation based in law. For far too many years, there were situations where some people were more free than others. And there were others that were not free under any circumstances. And that sadly is still present today. And it's getting worse. I'm talking about slavery. There are more slaves today in this country than there were ever held worldwide during our colonial days. Our Constitution guarantees us several rights that some people in the world do not enjoy at all. For instance, the right to do what we're doing right now. Exercise our religious preference in any manner that suits us. That's guaranteed. The right to gather and protest. The right to petition our government for the redress of wrongs and grievances. The right of free speech, to say anything we want to say as long as we don't hurt someone else. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. We all know that, unless there really is a fire. And finally, we all have, each of us over 18 years of age, have the right to vote. And in that vote, we have the right to decide which direction our nation will go. There are very few nations on the face of this earth that have that right. God created this nation, and fortunately, we are the inheritors of His creation. These are all freedoms that have been guaranteed, not only by our Constitution, but by the courage, the strength of arms, and the blood of our warriors. The cost of a war, any war, is a horrible waste of human life. For example, during the three-day battle fought at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania in 1863, there were more soldiers killed than were killed in the full 10 years of the war in Vietnam. In the Nam, we lost approximately a little over 58,000 soldiers, men and women. At Gettysburg, taking into account the losses on both sides, the Federals and the Confederates, somewhere between 85 and 90,000 men in only 3 days. The bloodiest battle that this nation has ever seen. And we were fighting each other. Graphic proof that freedom is not free. Let's go back in time for about 3,400 years. The time when Joshua had just been given command of the Israelite army. About 700,000 men strong. Just as they were entering Canaan, Joshua was commanded by God to carry out a holy war, to totally destroy everything he came across, every man, every woman, every child, every domestic animal, houses, barns, fields, cities, everything. Nothing was to be left. And God commanded Joshua to follow these orders explicitly. Joshua was almost successful. Joshua did what he was ordered to do, and doing so left nothing alive, nothing alive in the city of Jericho. God took care of knocking down the walls. The Israelite army knocked down everything else. The only survivors of Jericho were the prostitute Rahab and her family and people that were hers. For her service to the Israelites, she and her family were spared annihilation. This was the way a holy war was prosecuted at that time. Now, I've been unable to locate any records of how many people lived in and therefore died in Jericho on that fateful day. The only presumption I can make is that only the residents of Jericho perished. They perished under the Israelite sword. No Israelites were killed. Not one. Again, this shows that freedom is not free. The reason for my digression into the Israelite war against Canaan is to show you just how God takes care of His people, His chosen people. He guided them around in the Sinai Desert for 40 years. He fed them. He gave them more water than they could drink. And most of all, he protected them from other nations that would have gladly killed every single one of them if they had but been able to do so. The reason I have for discussing all these horrors of war is so that those of us who have not endured such horrors can get just a little taste of what a warrior does and what a warrior is. Now, you saw all the guys and girls that stood up when they were called. These are our warriors. These men and women that we honor today are the second most important reason that we are still a free nation. Notice I said the second most important reason. Primary reason is that we're still a free nation is that we believe in and pray to the most awesome God this world has ever seen. Our God is the one true God, and I don't care what anybody else thinks. He's my God, and he's your God. He will protect and guide us and lead us if we will but ask him to do so. It's that simple and that complex. These men and women present with us here today stood up to honor their branch of service when we called on them to do so, and to allow us to honor them as the heroes they truly are. At the time they entered into military service, every one of these men and women signed a blank check made out to the citizens of the United States of America that guaranteed they would protect this nation against all enemies, foreign and domestic, with a price tag of up to and including their own lives. It is recorded in John chapter 15, verse 13, that our Lord Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Jesus Christ said this fully knowing that American men and women would sign that blank check to protect people they loved and other people that they didn't even know. All we knew when we signed that check was that they were fellow Americans, and that was enough. Now, we all know there's really no blank check that guys going in the military sign. It's an attitude, a feeling in the heart. It's a feeling that we get when we reach the point in our lives when we would rather serve our fellow man than to serve ourselves. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the sacrifice that every man and woman who enters military service willingly makes and never forgets. Freedom is definitely not free. Now, what is it that Jesus did to give us freedom? What did he do? It's a very simple thing. In his doxology to the book of Revelation, the Apostle John wrote, and I quote, "Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from his sins by his blood. That is what Jesus the Christ has done for us. He gave us his blood so that we would have freedom from our sins. He gave up his life so that we would be free from sin. That is what our Lord and Savior did for us. If there's anyone here today who has not made the decision to trust Jesus, to give him control of your life, I would like for you to think about what I just said. Jesus gave up his blood and his life so that you could be free from sin. If you want to be saved and you want to live eternally with our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, it's a simple thing to do. Get up from your seat. Walk down this short aisle to the altar here. I will meet you at the altar and pray with you. Help you pray for forgiveness of your sins. It's guaranteed that God will hear you, and he will freely give you his grace through which you will be saved. In the book of John, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Yes, Jesus himself said that. So we know that it's completely true. Jesus doesn't lie. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save you from the consequences of your sin. Come on down here. Let me introduce you to my Jesus. He's the man, a God-man, who came for the specific purpose of making us free, saving us from our sins, and guaranteeing us eternal life. What could be any better than that? I can't think of a single thing. So come on down. Come on down. Let's pray. Matter of fact, I'm going to start praying right now because I need it.
Number 535, I am thine, O Lord.